Welcome to the Edge of Reality. Where's your edge? Give it up for your host, Allie.
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and that means we are live, the Edge of Reality, here on the NDB network on blog media, on Blog Talk Radio. I screwed that up. What are you going to do? Yep. Big show. We missed last week. I'm so sad about this, but we are back, which is why I screwed up our opening. But we are back. We've got so much to discuss. We've had three people leave on Survivor, including an epic tribal council last week, which we need to discuss. The season premiere of Amazing Race happened. We need to break that down as well. Million Dollar Mile, not even on Saturdays anymore. That's just gone forever. I don't know why. Maybe they'll put it back on in the summer. That would be a good show after Big Brother to have on, to burn off. I don't know. These things and all more and more happening tonight. Before I say anything else, though, let me say hello and good evening to my co-host and producer, Priscilla. Hey, Priscilla, what's going on this evening?
Yo, it's all good. I was excited for Tara to be back. I'm actually excited that it came on earlier than it was supposed to, so.
Well, it's come on a couple weeks earlier than it was supposed to after being gone for like a year and a half. So let's not get too excited here.
I know, but it's still earlier. I mean, April sounds better than May.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. And it was interesting. And I should say, too, that, you should follow us on Twitter. If my epic introduction wasn't good enough for you, and the knowledge that I have tomorrow off, I'm very excited about this. You should follow us on Twitter, and you can get our takes on all this stuff. I'm at Reality Allie. That's Reality Allie. Priscilla is at Priscilla. So you can follow along, talk to us about TAR, and Survivor for that matter, and Big Brother Canada, which I'm following. And it was interesting, Priscilla, because Phil did a lot of press this week leading up to TAR and getting people interested. And I listened to him. He was on a radio show that I listened to, and he was on a podcast that I listen to, Rob has a podcast, and he was on both, and I listened to his interviews, and he had a very interesting take, which I wanted to get your opinion on. He said that a lot of, like, the diehard TAR fans that don't watch Big Brother or Survivor were quite upset at the fact that this season was TAR, Big Brother versus Big Brother versus Survivor as a concept. He kept on saying, I'm sorry to those people. Don't worry. We'll go back to, like, original stuff. Like, don't worry. I'm sorry. Like, it was very weird. It seems like Phil had a big problem with this concept. And my take on it is this. TAR has been in danger of being canceled for good for a couple years now. And I love The Amazing Race. I love this show. For those of you who don't know my reality show history, Amazing Race was actually the first reality show, not the first reality show, but of these big ones, the Survivor, Big Brother, Amazing Race, it was actually the first one that I watched. I've seen every single season. And I can't say I've seen every single season of Big Brother, but I have not seen every single season of Survivor. So, I love Amazing Race so much. But that being said, it has been, kind of touch and go for the last couple years. And we were lucky that last year, they put it on between Survivor seasons at the Wednesday 8 p.m. slot, and it got really great ratings. And I really wish they would have considered that for another round. I think they totally should have done that again. But they need to do something. And the low-hanging fruit is Big Brother and Survivor watchers to go back and watch TAR. I mean, that is, those are the people that it makes the most sense to come back and watch TAR, right? People that are already interested in reality shows, already interested in CBS reality shows. And I've heard a ton of buzz as a result of this Big Brother Survivor Amazing Race. I've heard a ton of buzz about TAR, which you normally don't hear a ton of buzz going in. So I was very surprised that, you know, if you're a hardcore fan, that you only watch TAR. You don't watch Survivor or Big Brother. My take on it is, like, wouldn't you rather this than no season at all? And if you don't watch Big Brother or Survivor, you have no idea who these people are anyway. So you can just pretend that they're just
new players,
regular people, regular players. I mean, they're not, they don't have Big Brother or Survivor tattooed to the forehead. It doesn't make that much of a difference. For all intents and purposes, they're just regular teams competing. So I thought it was a very interesting take that this was, like, hotly contested. I don't know if you, how you feel about it, Priscilla.
Oh, I listened to the interview as well. And I have the exact same take as you. It can only, I mean, Big Brother and Survivor have carried fans. If you can have a crossover with that, just like with the challenge is trying to do with Big Brother people being on there, it's only a matter of time before we start seeing Survivor people on there, I'm sure. But to a point now where people like these crossovers, you know, and it, as you said, as my feeling was from the very beginning when I heard him say that, if you're a TAR fan and only a TAR fan, then it is just like watching all new players. It's not any different than the other season. It's not any different than when they had, you know, like the sports theme going on, or not any different than having the YouTubers theme, you know, social media theme. So it's just a theme. It's like, I can't believe that big of a deal is being made out of it over it, because it's kind of senseless. It's a win-win because new players, you're not bringing in any other pull to watch a show to get ratings up. At least this way you're pulling from your Survivor fans, your Big Brother fans, and your TAR fans to get ratings up. So to me, it's a win-win that way.
I agree. Another interesting fact that Phil said in interviews was that they've been to like 89, 90 countries on TAR, but there's like 170 some registered for the United Nations. So there's a bunch of countries that they've never been before. And he mentioned Nepal as something.
Right.
And I thought, yeah, that would be cool. Going to Nepal would be a cool. I hope that we get to see some new countries. Not this leg, actually. We've gone to one. We went to Tokyo, which is I feel like we've been to Tokyo quite a bit, right? That's we've seen Tokyo at least a few different times on Amazing Race seasons.
Yeah,
that's my take on it. But it's a great kind of opening, and we open with that. The racers are going to Tokyo, and yeah, I mean, it was just straight up just Amazing Race from the get-go. It was so exciting. You know, when Phil says go, you still get like that rush of adrenaline. We've talked a little bit about the teams and what we think, and in terms of Survivor teams and Big Brother teams, they are not, and even Amazing Race teams for that matter, They're not the first teams that you necessarily think of when you think of who would compete on Amazing Race. They're not the biggest names. They're some of the best characters that we've had. I mean, Janelle and Brittany are two of like the biggest characters of like Big Brother's history, and the fact that they're paired together is kind of amazing. No pun intended, but that's not necessarily, they're not, if you thought about like teams throughout the seasons of these shows, these group of people, they wouldn't be those people in my mind. So I think that's interesting too. They're not exactly who I would have in mind for Amazing Race. So I think that makes for an interesting kind of season. Holy cow. Speaking of Janelle, it does not, she killed these challenges. I mean, you just, Janelle is a comp beast. She hasn't been in Big Brother in a while. Season seven.
It was strictly luck on getting the sorry. There was
what are you doing? Why are you hating on Janelle like this?
Come on, I'm not hating on Janelle, but you're giving away too much credit for getting so damn lucky.
Oh, no, it was great.
I think Brittany is better than Janelle. They didn't have to climb up that thing. That was more challenging. That was just lucky.
Yeah. No, Janelle killed it. Janelle killed it.
She did kill it, but she didn't kill it because it was pure luck, or she did kill it because it was pure luck.
Now, you know, first team Ask Animals, that's not surprising. I think that they are, I think they're one of the faves to win. They've been on Amazing Race before. They didn't have a great showing. I mean, they could have done a lot better on their prior season. I think they've learned a lot from that. I really believed that the Amazing Race teams have a major advantage by doing Amazing Race before. Whereas I know that Survivor and Big Brother have their different reality shows, but they're very different reality shows. So I kind of thought that the Amazing Race teams would kind of breeze through at least the first several legs. So the fact that Art and JJ went out was unbelievably interesting to me. I can't believe that the first eliminated team is an Amazing Race team.
First and second and last. That's kind of a far variation, don't you think?
Oh, it just was not their leg. I don't know what to say about it except for they just, I think if a couple things went their way, they might have been in a better place. I think it was just not their leg, and of course it was the first leg. But you're absolutely right. The other two, the Ask Animals made it to number one. Team Fun was right there in the middle of the pack. You know, these Amazing Race teams, if I were to put a lock on who was going to win, I would think it would be an Amazing Race team. However, you know, Rachel is in a situation where she's done a little bit of everything. So I know she's not paired up with Brandon, who was her original TAR partner. And so technically they're kind of racing under Big Brother. But, you know, you can't sleep on the fact that Rachel has done this.
No, but I love Brittany and Janelle's, no, Eliza and Corinne's take on Rachel about Brendan. They got as far as they got because Brendan carried her all of her bags for her, but then they beat Eliza and Corinne, so they kind of ate a little bit of crow. Now, that was pretty good. I like that they put that in there.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I thought that my first pick for first eliminated was Eliza and Corinne. Eliza, I follow on Twitter, and Eliza is a major traveler. She is traveling all of the time. And I thought that maybe that would give them, but I just couldn't see them at challenges. I didn't have a lot of faith in Rupert and Lara either. And Rupert and Lara, it was between them and Art and JJ for who was going to go. So I kind of thought, oh, Art and JJ are going to pull this out. I can totally see a world where Rupert is the first out. I don't think Rupert and Lara are long for this game. I just don't see them.
They're in better shape because I catch them every so often on some Indianapolis stuff here in Indiana. They're in better shape. Have been trying to get in better shape over the last several years, especially Laura. She's lost a ton of weight. So I think that they're going to do, other than the traveling part, I don't think it's the physical part that's going to get them like it would have normally. But I think it's going to be just the traveling in general part.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's gonna be the way to go. I think if I were to choose another team to go next week, it will be them. I was involved in a TAR team draft, and one team was left undrafted, and weirdly enough, it was Art and JJ. So we must have believed that Art and JJ weren't going to make it very far. So that's very weird that they were the first out. Any other teams stand out to you as like the either like unexpected, like, oh wow, they can go somewhere, or like their dynamic is crazy, or just anything?
I actually was surprised that the married couple, Tar married couple, did as well. What is it, Christy and I can't remember their name.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
I was actually surprised that they. I shouldn't say I was surprised they did as well as they did. If I remember them from the past, they fell apart really easily and very quickly. Unless I'm getting them mixed up with somebody else. It's a toss-up between Survivor and Big Brother people for me. For one, the Survivor people, like, I don't really remember Eliza's season that I know her. I follow her on Twitter as well. I know her, but I don't know her from her original season. She did twice, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember her from her original season. I barely remember Corinne. And I know I should know those names because they're both villains, like. So I don't know
Probably the most famous Eliza thing is when somebody gave her a fake idol that was just a stick, and she the famous line is, "It's just a fucking stick," and then she gave it to Jeff, and Jeff threw it in the fire. That's like the ultimate Eliza. And then Corinne, I know Corinne's seasons fairly well, because there's a lot of notable. She played with a lot of notable people. So, yeah, it's a. But you're right. They were definitely villains of Survivor.
So I don't know. It's like a toss up between the Survivor people because I'm not huge fans of actually any of them that run. And maybe the Team Fun is probably. I would probably be rooting for them more than anybody else. I don't know why at this point. They just make me laugh. I don't know, her smile, I guess. I don't know. I want to pull for a Big Brother team, but honestly, Brittany is pulling this match, in my opinion. Totally.
Well, I agree. And I love, so first of all, I will root for Team Fun always. I love Team Fun. I love them their first season. I was so sad the way they went out. All I can call them is Team Fun. Where the guy in the group, I forget his name because all I think of is Team Fun. The guy in Team Fun. had to be like medevaced because of
right.
the last challenge. So they just, they went out in such a rough way. But you know, Janelle and Brittany, I mean, I understand that they're mismatched, and like Brittany comps for Big Brother comps were, you know, that was not her strong suit. she was a social player, and that's how she played, and comps were not her thing. Janelle's a beast. So I'm hoping that Janelle can kind of keep it rolling for a few episodes, but I'm rooting for them. But you're absolutely right. The interesting thing about this set of teams is that they're not like the new shiny objects. They're not people from like the most recent seasons or the most, I mean, these are for the most part pretty old school players, with the exception of Team Fun, who's played, and like Team Nicole and Victor played within the last couple of years, Big Brother. But, you know, most of the others are, you know, people that haven't played in a while. They haven't done anything in a while in terms of reality show competition style. So, you know, it's an interesting group of people that they ended up with. So I'm excited to see what's going on. I absolutely love it. Where are we going next week?
I didn't pay attention. Did
you catch the preview? Yeah, I don't know either, but I'm excited for. I mean, the Japan was cool. The crosswalk thing was a great visual. I loved that. Yeah, I love Amazing Race. I'm so glad that it's back. I will take it. You haters about the we don't want to see Survivor. Stop it. Aren't you happy that it's back? Yeah. Just be happy.
Right. I just
be happy.
That just makes, like I said, zero sense to me, because if you don't watch Survivor and Big Brother, what's the big deal? They're new people to you. You know?
Yeah.
It just makes no sense.
Don't worry about it. Just enjoy it.
So if they took total strangers off and put them on, they'd all be total strangers to you. At least you know some of the tar people that are on there or have been on there, and you're going to get to know the others. That's the only bad thing about that is you got to get to know the others if you don't watch the other shows, but that's just like anything. You know,
yeah.
If you're watching the stars, there's going to be some people you know better than others on there, so you're going to root for them more over so, but then they can win you over as the season goes on too. The only thing that I hate about when it first starts is there's so many teams, and you really don't get to see that much of each team, if that makes sense.
Sure, sure.
Gotta wait till you get eliminated a little bit more down the road. You get to see them, but the team's more in depth.
Yeah. By the way, Tyler and Corey. I'm also kind of rooting for Tyler and Corey.
Are way more TAR returning players than there are Big Brother and Survivor, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So,
but I forgot that I like Tyler and Corey as well. So I'm down for that. And speaking of Tyler and Corey, I mean, they were from the social media season, which was like
right.
the season that I like was like the most upset about, the people from social media coming on. I mean, go after that season. Jesus, don't go after this one. But anyway, that's my that's my take. We saw a season. Well, I'll never bash a season that gave us Blaine and Haley. I mean, that was the blind date season. I mean,
they should have had them back.
I know. We talked so much smack about that blind date season, and then it gave us Blaine and Haley and Blair and Haley, and everything. Everything worked, like everything made sense. That was like ended up being fantastic. And then Jeff and Jackie ended up going on Big Brother. That was quite the season. So, yeah. And Jackie made it very far in Big Brother. Not Jeff, but Jackie did. Anyway, so get over it. Have fun. Japan was awesome. I'm very excited to see what was happening.
Get over it. Get over it. Move on.
Over, I hated that, and so it was like apologizing, and it was like you like be excited that it's on again. Be excited that it's on. You know, let's not have TR go the way of Million Dollar Mile. Let's not do that to ourselves. So originally Million Dollar Mile, by the way, we said that it was going to go on Saturday nights. It was kind of, but then they decided to take it off completely and not even have it on Saturday nights, which is a weird call. Like, you would think, hey, at least it's new programming. Let's have it, like, let's put it into a spot, even if it's a Friday night or a Saturday night where it's like, you know, you don't typically have new programming, but that's an interesting call. Maybe they'll put it on in the summer. Maybe it will be on All Access only, so it's like All Access content, which they could do if you have CBS All Access, which I don't currently, but I will for the Big Brother season. Maybe that will be the route that they go. I don't know. But it's a bummer because I liked that show more than I think it's getting credit for. And I hated the way that it went out because the last thing they did was had one of the female competitors chase a male competitor be chased by a female champion. And I didn't love that. I did not love that. So that was a bad way to go out. So, oh well. And I still will always hate Matt Money Smith. That's my major takeaway from that show. Matt Money Smith is a ridiculous name. Just call yourself Matt Smith or call yourself Money. You don't have to call yourself all three things. That defeats the purpose of a nickname.
I just checked because one thing about the CBS All Access for CBS, they only have the first two episodes on there. But what they do is, like, you know how Netflix puts the entire season up? But, like,
yeah,
for some of their The Good Wife went into, what was that stupid show? The Good Fight.
Yeah.
They release weekly.
Yeah.
I don't watch, like, any of the other, you know, or series that they have just for online access or CBS All Access, but The Good Fight I do watch, and they do that weekly, which I think is so stupid. Just release the whole entire freaking season if it's online. Stay up with Netflix. Come on. That way you can binge it.
Yeah. I don't know. That's an interesting debate to have at some point when we don't have to talk about Survivor next, because I do think that there's some shows that are better not being binged. So I understand where you're coming from, but I get it. Hulu does that too. Hulu with, like, whatchamacallit, Handmaid's Tale and shows like that, that's on a weekly basis. That's not binged. So I get it. We can have that debate sometime when we're not about to talk about three people being eliminated from Survivor, which is the next thing we have to discuss.
When you lead into Survivor, just remember one thing. I was correct. I will remind you when we get onto Survivor.
Huh. I believe it was David and Kelly, right?
Yep, that would be it.
And you thought Kelly was going to be the last person standing, and I said David?
Correct. I said David would be eliminated before Kelly, and you said, I don't think so.
Yeah, so I mean, it was close, but you are right. You are right. That happened. And I have to say about this, I definitely want to talk about the live tribal caps council last week, but I will say this. I love Kelly Wentworth. This season, she did the best she could, knowing that her back was against the wall from second one, and I appreciate that. I'm so bummed that I told you that my biggest fear was that she was going to leave this game with an idol still in her pocket, and that's what happened. I was very bummed out about this. But all of that being said, the likelihood of her coming back in the game is like zero. I'm like, so, I'm giving it like Joe, I'm giving it to Eric, I'm giving it to Aubrey. Like, there's other people that I think are just going to handle it better.
Idol valid?
Say that again.
If she would come back in the game, is her idol, will her idol be valid?
You know, we talked about this because didn't Rick leave the game with an idol in his pocket too, or with the same? I don't think so. I think that once they're out, the idol is not valid. The only question in my mind is, can you still use it as a fake idol? Do they take it out of the game? Do they take it out of circulation? Like, so meaning, do they take it from Kelly? We haven't seen somebody get an idol in a while. You know, Lauren still has hers, but Aubrey's, did we see that one go back into circulation?
Well, see, this is the thing that was brought up. Tribal. Did you catch that at Tribal where they have all commented that they've been looking, even though we haven't seen them, that they've been looking and they're realizing that all the advantages are at on the island now, on Exile Island. Did you catch that part of the?
That's true. And I want to discuss that too. But just going back to the idols for the second, you know, there was three idols out, you know, up until last week. There were three idols. Lauren had one, Wentworth had one, and Rick and David had one. Rick and David used theirs last week on David, and so theoretically that would go back into circulation. They typically, three is like the maximum that they typically have, especially when we get the merge. All three of them have had their idols for several weeks, so I understand people not having them. So now the question is, will Rick and David's and will Wentworth's go back into circulation? Or will Rick and David's?
It's really weird of the timing that he said after David's and then played theirs, like they had looked that week and nobody had found a replacement for it, is how I took it. But I could have been reading into that wrong. I just thought it was very curious how their take on it was.
And I also feel like this was a short period. So my understanding was, you know, I've done some reading, and my understanding was last week's live tribal council, the one where Julia went home, and we're going to talk about that. But that was supposed to be the first of a two-part episode where two people were going to be evicted. Instead of David and Kelly in this episode, it was going to be Julia and David, theoretically. But because the live tribal happened, they decided not to do it that way, and they edited it out so that Wentworth and David went out back-to-back, which kind of makes sense considering their rivalry with each other and how, you know, how much they fought with each other. It makes sense that they were going back-to-back. But that being said, you know, I don't think that they had a ton of time from the time that David and Rick used theirs to when the next tribal happened. So they might have hit it literally that day of the next tribal. So they might not be able to find it until this upcoming week. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all just like timing of these things. So I think that we'll see another idol in circulation. It's just whether or not they find it. The other part of it is, too, is that they – well, no, because they know that Rick and Dave used one of theirs so that they know that it should go back in circulation. Like, I would run in – if I was in the island, I would run into issues of, like, oh, look, I already looked in that tree. Well, you might have looked into that tree 3 days ago, but – now there's another idol in there, so it might be in this tree. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't think to go to back to the places that I already looked, if that makes sense. So I think there's something a little bit like that happening, too. So we'll see. who ultimately ends up with it. But you're right about the advantages. All the advantages are on extinction, and extinction players are able to give them to current players. And let me just say, I hate that. I do not like that. I don't love extinction having that much say in what's happening in the game. I'm fine with them being jury members. I'm fine with the fact that one of them is going to come back into the game, but I just don't love the idea that they're also making these major decisions about the game from outside of the game. I don't know if I'm being too serious about it, but I just don't like it.
Well, it could be, but in this particular case, Rick was already winning. He didn't really need that advantage. And this actually might be more damaging to David if he would come back in the game, because now they knew they were tight before, but by him actually, you know, saying, thanks, David, you know, for my advantage kind of thing, it could be more damaging to them in the long run, actually, because he was doing very well. He didn't really need the advantage, but it could hurt him.
You're right. You're right to some degree. But however,
I could see in different situations where it would make a bigger difference in the game. At this particular time, it did not at this point have a lot of bearing in the game. But you're right. It could have. It didn't work out that way this particular time.
Exactly. So not only you could it have. But we also don't know in general when I want this returning player to come back soon. I need them. I was hoping that it was going to happen this week. I'm ready for Edge to be over, just because I don't want to be in a situation where a returning player comes back at like final five. Like, I just don't love that as a thing. I want them to come back when there's still game left to be played. Now, my assumption was that somebody like Rick was going to be like a rotating door. That clearly has not happened. Rick has stayed through several eliminations, you know, and I don't know what's going to happen with him, but I don't know. I don't want a returning player to come back when there's so little game left to be played. I want them back sooner. I want the opportunity for other people to get them out again if they so choose. And it's harder to do that when you have a Final Four fire-making challenge. It's one less opportunity to take out someone before the final three. Your last real opportunity to make a decision about the game is at final five. That's really the last opportunity that you can totally control who's in final three with you. You get to control one person. If you win the final four challenge, you can take one person with you, but you don't have complete control over who's going to be that third spot. And so because of that, you have to make decisions earlier in the game. So I want that returning player back now so that there's some time left to figure out what's going to happen. Also for the sake of the returning player, Priscilla, because if they come back, people take it in one of two ways. Either the jury is like, yeah, we've got to hang out with them. They're great. They represent us. We want them to win. Or it's they didn't have enough time to show themselves, and so they automatically lose. You know what I mean? There's not much of a chance for someone to prove themselves back in the game if they don't come in soon. So that's my worry now about the Extinction Island. They need to come back now.
And I think the take that I take on this jury, they're not going to I think they're going to be more emotional voters than they're going to be on rationale and gameplay.
I agree.
It's going to be more vote.
I agree. I think
who's
the
there right
that
now? Who's there right now? Anyway, I should say.
Right. I mean, we have Ream in the mix, which, you know, I don't love the idea of someone who was voted out first on jury. But there's precedent. We've seen it with Big Brother. We've seen it with other shows. It happens. But you're right. This is more of an emotional group. You would like to think that the returning players will kind of put a kibosh on that. But the Extinction Island is going to mess with everybody's head a little bit. You get the good thing about Ponderosa is that everybody has a chance to kind of decompress from the game, and no one has that opportunity right now. Everybody is still very much involved in the game. Either they're trying to get back in or they're getting advantages to give to other people. Like, people have like real stake in the game still. So you don't have that opportunity for people to kind of think objectively or strategically about their choice. So I completely agree with you, P. I think that people are going to react emotionally just because they wouldn't have had the chance to not react emotionally.
Right.
That, you know, everybody needs that cool off period. And nobody's going to get that cool-off period. So it's going to make for an interesting tribal council. I wonder if, let's say somebody like Joe comes back into the game. You know, will someone who's very well-liked by the people that are in jury, will that be enough for people to say, I want this person to win? Because they stayed in Extinction Island and they did this, you know, or would, let's say, a Gavin or a Victoria or a Julie, somebody who will never have been voted out of the game, are they going to have the upper hand because they were never voted out of the game? So it's I'm very curious to see what the jury weighs in on.
I call it now David comes back.
It's a very strong possibility that David comes back in all this. And even
that's
more of a reason that if that's the case, because if David comes back, David makes it to the final three. If he comes back, especially if he's final six, final five, because David is so capable of winning immunities and he can make a fire like nobody's business. He'll get himself to final three. You just want to give people opportunities to take them out, to take that person out again.
See, that's where I think that this advantage that he got is going to come into play. Right now, it's not affecting the game. That's why I think that it's going to have an effect if and when he comes back into the game.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's definitely a possibility. It'll be interesting to see from that perspective what happens. From my perspective, and I said this earlier, I love Wentworth. I was hardcore rooting for her, even though I knew that she wasn't going to make it incredibly far through the game or win. And as much as it sucks that she's gone this week, and as much as it sucks that she didn't use her idol, it also gives me a chance to be like, okay, now Wentworth is gone. Now I can relax. I truly don't care who wins. I have no stake
in
this
really
game.
What really sucks is they already showed that she went back to when she went to, she actually told them Lauren had an idol. I think that's going to come into play as well.
Oh, yeah.
I think she just effed up Lauren's game. Whoever comes back in has that knowledge now. And she's the last one that has an idol right now.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I was surprised that Wentworth did that.
I was very surprised she did that.
I don't know if she just had like a momentary lapse of judgment because the game was over, like she thought the game was over. Yeah, it was not a great move.
That move in itself told me she was tired. She should have just went home. She was, I mean, because otherwise she keeps stuff like that very close to the belt. Especially when she really had through the whole entire season.
She thinks that Lauren, like, screwed her over in some way.
Did you watch the end votes that I love that they finally brought back? Wardog voted out. Lauren did not.
Yeah. And that was my question. I wonder if she thought that Lauren was the one who voted for her.
And Wardog was grinning ear to ear like he was happy about it when she left. She had to have seen that it was him because I didn't know it was him yet. And when I seen her leave and the way he was smiling like, whatever, you know, kind of thing, I knew it was him. I was surprised it was not well, but I knew he was one of the votes.
Wardog has been very interesting on Twitter. I'm trying not to pay attention a lot. This season, they've been very active on Twitter. And I've been trying to not pay attention simply because I'm afraid that they're going to say something that makes me, you know, I don't care about spoilers, but you and I talk about predictions so much that I don't want to be spoiled because I like talking to you about who we think is going to win. So I try to stay away from it, but Wardog, I see a lot of stuff from him where it's like the three of us together, we voted together all these times. And then to like see that he voted against her was like, you know, that's kind of like an asshole thing to do, but whatever. It's the game. He's still there. She's not. I didn't understand why he talked about it on Twitter about what the loyal duty was if he isn't, but it didn't make a ton of sense to me. But I'm happy that she's gone.
And that was, you know, he actually used that with Ron. You know, hey, we are us three stick together, like emphasizing that. So there was a reason why he did that as well, because Ron voted with him. And this is where it pisses me off because I want to see more conversations at camp because him and Ron went in there knowing that and we had no indication of it. It's like, I don't give a shit if it stopped me at Tribal. I want to see the conversations leading up to the reasons of why they think they're going to do it. They can leave it in suspense or not suspense, but I want to see some of the conversations like that. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, you bring up a really great point, and I wanted to talk about that with the live tribals as well. I just want to go back to this idea of like, I went with Scott, therefore I really don't care who wins. I don't find a ton of like super likable personalities this season. You know, I at first attributed it to we didn't see most of the people for the first half of the game, but now that we're seeing them, I'm like, I could care less about Ron. I could care less about Rick. I could care less about Wardog. I could care less about, you know, like a lot of these people. I'm like, am I rooting for Julie? Is that the direction that I'm going in? Am I rooting for Lauren? I don't think so because I didn't love Lauren either. I just don't know. There isn't really anybody super rootable left. So I think we're going to get, I kind of predicted at the start of the season that the structure of the season is very much structured that like a middle of a road person wins. Someone who's not great, someone who's not terrible, you know, just kind of like an average winner, which, you know, you don't want to have an average winner, but like if a Julie or an Aurora or a Ron win, it's like, that's not super exciting. We can live without that. So that's, you know, We'll see what happens. I don't necessarily want a returning person to win either, because we've seen that play out before too. But personality-wise, it's been a little less to be desired. Looking at your earlier point about you want to see more conversations, that kind of leads me to the live tribal council from last episode. I saw a lot of buzz about this. I watched it late, but I heard people talking about it. I saw it on Twitter. It was like this big deal. And I watched it, and I knew it was going to be a big deal because it was literally half of the episode was tribal. And I know everybody gets super excited about the idea of people whispering to each other like moments before they're voting. And on live feeds on Big Brother, that's my favorite thing in the world when you're about to flip and you're like an hour away from the show and you're watching it happen live. But on Survivor, there's excitement of people walking around and people whispering, but you don't get to hear what they're saying. You can't hear it. So it loses its like excitement. So you're just really just watching people whispering and catching a couple words there. So that leads, Priscilla, what you said earlier, I think we're missing out a lot on strategies and conversations leading up to these tribals. You know, we're not really getting a full picture before we sit down at the tribal. And last week was a perfect example of that. I had no idea what the hell was going on. And it's not like, oh, my God, I don't know what's going on. This is amazing. It's kind of like, well, anybody can go out. Julia went out, and I was like, all right, I understood it because she kind of went a little nuts there. But I was just like, all right, so that happened. I have no idea why the hell that happened, but it happened. So it's live tribals are fun for like 30 seconds, but I would rather – to your point, Priscilla, I would rather get these conversations ahead of time so you kind of know what people's thought process is. What's your take?
You know where I stand on that.
Yeah.
I definitely want to hear the gaming.
As you were watching the live tribal last week, were you like, this is amazing, or were you like, I have no idea what's going on, or a combo?
I mean, I know that Jeff was loving it, and I was thinking, you're losing total control. But he was thinking, oh, it's great TV, but I was thinking, you've just totally lost control of your group. Yes, it's different, but I don't know. I kind of have mixed feelings on it. And I'm still back on the Jeff bandwagon where sometimes he feeds stuff that is kind of more information than he basically gives more information to the group than what is needed. And sometimes and out other people's games. Because that turned totally south. And I honestly think it was because of Jeff's questioning.
Yeah. Yeah. I 100% agree with that.
Just show, the game totally changed right there, and Jeff had everything to do with it, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I believe that he doesn't always, he biases
the game.
He has his
favorite. Yeah, he totally biases the game. 100%.
Yeah, intentionally or unintentionally, I don't know if it's always his intention to do it. I believe that he asks questions because he wants good TV, and then as a result, certain things happen. I wish he was more careful with that, but I know 38 seasons in that he's not going to be. I've accepted that as who he is. I don't love a live tribal. The only thing that and I've heard people talk about this. I listen to Dalton Ross's radio show, and they talk about this a lot, which is like, instead of the whispering, like, make people say it out loud. Like, if you want it to be live, You just go and talk to people, but make them say it so that you can hear what everything that somebody's saying. And so that way you understand. Now, yes, that will cut down the amount of live tribals for sure. But at the same time, you get to listen, you get to hear. Because after a certain point, you're just watching people whisper to each other. It's not super exciting. I mean, it got to a point at the live tribal where everybody was just kind of looking at each other and whispering, and you don't know what's happening, and you're kind of like, "This is I'm watching, but I have no idea what's going on."
Well, yeah, right. I mean, they're mic'd. Why can't we hear what they're saying? Even if it's a whisper.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not any different than when Big Brother whispers, you know, they're mic'd. Let's come on.
Yeah, but Big Brother is mic'd in a way different situation. I mean, they're mic'd, all the furniture is mic'd, everything. It's just better audio. You know, I can understand why they can't get the audio.
I see other shows and other outdoor shows and other reality shows where they actually have the microphone as a necklace. So it is always right there.
Yeah.
Period. And the audio is so much better. I think Canada even does that. And you can get stations so much better, even than in our Big Brother house. You know, the way their audio, I think, could be better, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, I agree.
You should be able to hear those whispers, because you're right. It doesn't make good TV when you're just watching people whisper and frantic around. But if we could hear the conversations going on, and if we can't hear them then I want to hear them back at damn camp.
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm with you. I'm with you 100% on that. I mean, they were lucky because Aubrey is so expressive, so they could, like, switch to her freaking out, and you're like, whoa, Aubrey's freaking out, you know. But Aubrey was freaking out, you know, because she's Aubrey. She didn't hear anything more than what anybody else was hearing. She just loved the idea that things were changing so suddenly. So, but luckily they could edit her, and, you know, that gave us something to watch when we were watching people talking to each other. So, you know, I'm with you. I wish that we got more content.
As long as we can hear it.
Exactly.
If they hear it, if I can hear it, then that makes better TV, period.
Sure, absolutely. And I, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens from here. Like I said, I'm not particularly interested in who wins. I don't think that we have a great winner in this season, but I want to see the conclusion of The Edge of Extinction. I hope that happens next episode. But I want it to happen sooner rather than later. Anyway, that is it for us. Next week, we gotta talk challenge. I wanna talk about the separation of teams. We knew this was coming. We knew that they were gonna go to individuals. I wanna talk about that a little bit. We'll talk about episode 2 of TAR. We got a bunch of stuff to discuss. Follow us on Twitter. Again, I'm at Reality Alley. That's Reality A-L-L-I-E. Priscilla's at P-S-I-L-L-A. Enjoy your long weekends. I hope that you guys have long weekends like I do. And we will talk to you next week. Have a good night, everyone.
Night, everyone.